sing, Break Thou the Bread of Life. What song, what number is that? Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just ask that you would break the bread of life to us, Father. Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, Lord, and eyes to see, Father, your Spirit. Lord, that you would help us, Father, to open our ears. Lord, give us wisdom, Father. We just thank you for your goodness to us in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. Thankful again to be here. One of the simplest things that God offers us is in prayer is to ask for wisdom. We sang the song this morning about wisdom, taken from Proverbs 4, about the wisdom crying in the streets and to seek after that wisdom. I believe that wisdom is none other than God's Spirit being a part of our life. That's where wisdom comes from. That's how we get our sight to see clearly and to follow His way above all the noise and the clamor of this world. This morning, let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. The general epistle of John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We'll stop there. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the Bible. Just some very basic thoughts about the Bible. There are a lot of people today who have forsaken Christianity because of a misconception that they have about the Bible. They dismiss it because it was written by men. They've heard it from the pulpits, men trying to defend God's word. Men who have tried to defend it and exalt it to such a place that it was never meant to be. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a guide to our life. The Bible is a very precious tool. It's a very precious book. But it is not to take the place of God. It is not God. It is an instrument that God has chosen to reveal to men who He is. And as we follow its guidance and listen to it, along with God's Spirit, it will guide us beyond the sacred page, like we just sang, unto God. That's its purpose. Before we have God's Word, we had God's Spirit. In Genesis, whenever it gives a picture of the gospel, that there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and God's Spirit moved upon that darkness. You and I were living in darkness, and was it not for God's Spirit causing us unrest, troubling our consciences, and calling us to something higher, there would be no value in just a book full of words. God's Spirit, the Spirit of grace that brings salvation, has appeared to all men. The Bible, as we know it, didn't appear to all men. Bible is a great help. And we follow it as close or try to as anybody. But it is not the end all, be all of all things. It is to bring us to God. It is to bring us safely to Christ, so that we can be watching and waiting and ready for Him when He returns. It shows us our errors. It shows us where we are separated from God. But there's a Spirit behind that that is God. And that's what gives it life. It's not just dead words. His Spirit moving behind His words is what brings life to us. That makes it quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Because His Spirit is alive behind those words. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested. This life was manifested, and we have seen it. And declare unto you, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. The reason John wrote these things down is because he was trying to bear witness of that life that was here that life was Christ Himself. And He came into this world and He dwelt among men. They heard Him speak. John heard Him speak. He looked upon Him with his eyes. And his hands handled the very word of life. All through the Old Testament, they heard about God. They heard about this being that was so fantastic and so great and so high that if they even looked upon Him, that they would die. And He promised them one day He would come. And when He came as a man. The Bible talks about that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how we have. They wrote down what they saw and heard of God. That's what the Bible's about. It is a book that was written by men. It wasn't a book that it was never intended just to be something that would just fall out of heaven with God's stamp and it's smoking and all kinds of things going on, that it just fell out of heaven and it said, obey this book. God chose men from the very beginning to speak to men. Whenever God needed a messenger or a prophet to go speak to other men, He called a man. And when God sent His Son to the world, He made Him a body like a man to come and speak to men. What difference is there, one man speaking to another man? Everyone's got an opinion. Some people have good ones. Some people have bad ones. But everyone has an opinion. What's the difference? Some people are listening to God's opinion. And not man's. And they hear God's message. And they hear God's voice. And as it lines up, we have His word. We have the testimony of others. The witness of others. That our witnesses can agree together. And that gives an assurance to those who are listening that that testimony is true. The Bible teaches in the Old Testament the testimony of two or three witnesses gives things more credibility. That just because one man said it doesn't mean anything. But when two or three witnesses that are apart from each other can collaborate together for their testimony of the thing that happened says the same thing, that gives a credibility to their witness. That's the neat thing about the Gospels. God has given us four different Gospels. Accounts of the life of Christ. And they're just written down as a man would write them. They were holy men. They were righteous men. They were men who were seeking after God. And they wrote down what they saw whenever he was here. They were the witnesses. It wasn't just this perfect book that fell out of the sky that told us about Jesus. He was here. And there were men that saw him, that walked with him, that talked with him. And they loved him. They heard from their hearts. They had ears to hear and eyes to see. And as he walked through this life and they observed his life, they followed him and they learned from him. And they wrote it down. They wrote down what they saw in his life. They wrote down what they loved in his life. They wrote down what he taught them. They wrote down the things that he did. And they all agree. Maybe not to the very last detail, because some people see details a little deeper than others. Some people have a general overview whenever they look at things. My dad is blind. All but he's got glaucoma. He can only see just one little place right straight in front of him. He doesn't see people coming up beside him all the time. He has to hear them. But he can drive alongside of the road and he can see a problem with a cow a mile away that I wouldn't even have noticed. But he saw, he can see things like that. Some people just see a broad view, but they don't really see a lot of details. And God in his wisdom had men write down what they saw. Each one of them with how they see things. One of them with a broad view. One of them maybe with a focused view on something. And while they may appear to disagree to the ignorant and the wise, it's just a different account of how one man saw it. But it all comes together to give us a guide that we can listen to and that we can follow if we're of the same spirit that those men were. If we listen to that same spirit. I've talked with people who've hardly ever even picked up a Bible. But they followed that Spirit. And whenever you begin to talk to them, that Spirit begins to resonate. And that truth begins to come to life in their eyes. And they say, yeah, I know that. That's the truth. That's the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. When we read this book and we have been following God's voice, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. That Spirit of grace that brings us salvation. Why some people listen to that and some don't, I do not know. But those that do, when they hear it and yield to it and obey it, there's just a natural drawing to them. Just amazed over and over and over again at the people on the streets. These religious people. So many of them. Friday night, I finally just asked him before, but one man was just saying that he loved God, that he was saved, and he was a Christian. And I just finally asked him, I said, why don't you love the words of Christ then? What's wrong with what's right? I just don't understand that. That you can present the words of God and someone come up and be against it so hardly and then still profess that they're a Christian. The very words of Christ. There's a difference in the spirit that they have. Last night even we were there and a couple of people that were atheists came up and they were using the standard line about the Christians are the one who's caused all the wars, all the evil in the world, all the wars and the murders and the carrying on, all have a religious foundation. They're all fighting for God. What about the Crusades, they say? Those were Christians killing innocent people, slaying everybody in their path that wasn't a Christian. And we agreed with them. You're right. They weren't Christian. They use other arguments. And we agreed with them. And they were right. But they still wouldn't hear about Christ. That is not what he taught. And that it was not what his followers did. All they saw was Christianity as being this evil, vindictive, killing people in the name of God, and other religions fighting in the name of their God. And then those very people turned around and began talking to these evangelicals who believed that it was right to kill. And you know what? They had fellowship right away. They hated us. They didn't want to hear what we said, and we were agreeing with them. And they hated us. And they turned and had fellowship with the others that hated us, who said that we were telling nothing but lies. Over and over and over again, you see that. On the streets. Two people that you think would never get along can unite to hate God's word. People that are jumping up and down on one hand that this is the truth, there's not one little letter out of order in this Bible. Getting along with people who hate the very thought of this Bible being perfect. They both missed it. Because it's the word behind this Bible. It's the life behind this Bible that they both hate. That's speaking to them and condemning them and calling them to himself. This witness of the light. John the Baptist said, I'm not that light, but I'm bearing witness of that light. I'm bearing witness of that word. And that's what he's called us to do. To bear witness to that light, that voice that's still speaking to man. That still small voice that Elijah talked about. That voice of truth crying out in the wilderness of this dark world. And how few people will hear it. How few people will yield to her wisdom. God hasn't called us just to obey the letter of the law, but to follow the spirit of the law. That's where our fellowship is. Do what's right. Do the truth. Study the witnesses that God has given us. Have fellowship with these people and their writings that He's preserved for us. That's what it means for His Spirit to bear witness that with our spirit that we are the sons of God. It's not a feeling of comfort that I know my sins have been forgiven. I know I'm saved. I know my name is written down. I'm so comforted and I'm so assured that that's the way it is. That's not the witness that God's given us to know that we have eternal life. That witness is we're following and walking in the light that others have witnessed and followed and walked in. And when they write something down, our spirit says, amen. Oh, how many times I've been blessed. I don't know what the early Christians said. I've just read very little of what they've actually written compared to some of you all. I haven't spent 2 or 3 hours in my whole life reading what the early pre-Nicene followers of Christ have written. But when I do, my heart just, amen. Because what they are writing about, I know to be true. Because I've been there and I've gone through it myself. And my spirit is at one with them. My spirit is bearing witness with what they're saying as being the truth. The Waldensians, the Anabaptists. I love to read some of the stories. I haven't spent a whole lot of time studying everything about them to see how far and how right they were and to know all their stories. But when I pick one up and read it and see how the world responded to his message and how the message and how he might have responded to the judges that he was brought before, and the church, and the priest. My spirit says, I know exactly what he's going through. I know his heart. Because I've been there in many cases. I've had to answer the same things. I've been asked the same questions. And I find that we've given the same answers. What a blessed assurance that is. To have that cloud of witnesses that we can go back through and find that their witness is still the same as ours today. Following that truth has led us through the darkness of this ungodly, Christ-rejecting, anti-Christ system of religion that is prevalent today in this world. And our spirits don't agree. With the spirit of this world. I was never taught a lot of these things. But whenever I picked up the book, there was something about this book that taught me that, yes, this is right. I don't have to have 2,000 years of archaeology backing up every word that this book says. time they asked me to somebody asked me to teach on the archaeological proofs that were proving something, and I said, I won't do it. I don't need that. I don't have to understand those things. Because I know that His Spirit is bearing witness with my spirit. And when I pick up this book, even though it condemns me, I know it's right. And as we walk in that light, that communion with God and with one another becomes real. And the fellowship is real. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Sure, they're true. Sure, it's a rock. And it does agree with what they found. There's something more important than that. It agrees with the Spirit of the Father. Jesus, when He was here and arguing John chapter 8, verse 12, talking with the Pharisees. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. You tell someone the truth, and the witness will bear witness with that person, either condemning them or in agreement with us. That's why the confrontation of the truth versus the lies. That's why the confrontation of light and darkness. That's why we have a confrontational gospel. Because we're bearing witness of the light of this world. And the darkness of this world cannot stand it. You cannot blend it together. And if you do, you have a lie. No matter how gentle you try to apply it, there's a stark difference between light and darkness. And if we try to make it anything different than that, God goes away from it. Because that's not bearing witness of Him. Paul bore witness. They said that his witness of sin, he in Acts, he preached about sin and righteousness and judgment to come. He reasoned with Philip. You know why? Because that's what the Father would be reasoning with men about. And unless we're giving the same message that the Father is giving, we don't have the Father. We're to line up with His message, to bear witness to His message. And that is His message. When He, the Comforter, is come in John chapter 16, He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That's what He's coming to do. That's what He's here for. And as we speak those things that He's speaking of, it may seem like we're just telling this all by ourselves, but there's one bearing witness with us. The Father. The Father. When we're hearing Him and bearing witness, that's what makes it true. That's why men can't just ignore what we're saying. That's why people just can't just go by and ignore it. They try to so hard. But they can't do it because God's still working in their lives. Some of them it makes angry. Some of them it makes sad. And once in a while, someone it makes glad that the truth is being spoken. May God help us to be a witness to the light, a witness to the Word, a testimony that the words that we speak are as the holy men that spake, as they were moved by the same Holy Spirit. The same Spirit behind Elijah the prophet. The same Spirit behind Ezekiel the prophet. All the men of God of old. The same Spirit that John the Baptist had. And Peter and John, Matthew, Mark, Paul, and those that have lived since then that are bearing witness, and those now that are bearing witness to the truth. May God help us to continue to walk in that light. What a holy and high calling. Father, we just thank you, God, for your goodness to us. Help us be faithful, Lord, to you, to your word, to your Spirit, God. We just ask these things in the precious name of our Lord. Amen. Anyone have anything they'd like to share? They were just men of like passion, just like we are.
Discrepancy here or there when
they picked up the spirit of what it was trying to say. They might not have known all the Abraham seventh son's middle name just right. They were taken and hearing the truth and bearing witness to the truth. Know how many Sunday schools I've labored through, and people just getting all the finest details of things that were right, and just the truth just blowing past them like the wind. But they had all the details right. That's why it's so easy. Just one college professor in just a couple of weeks can just completely destroy someone's faith because their faith is misplaced in something that it wasn't ever supposed to be placed in. All right. Well, we'll meet back at 6:30 this evening, have fellowship dinner. May the Lord bless you all. Pray for Roger. Evangelical, and she's listening more and more to them. And there's even talk of her maybe even divorcing him. So he just asked for prayer there. So he's hoping to talk with her tomorrow. So let's pray for him. Thank you. Oh, God bless you.